This is Sarah Lemon, author of the Whole Dish blog and food writer for the Meal Tribune newspaper in Southern Oregon. This podcast is produced for the Meal Tribune and Rosebud Multimedia. You can find it online at www.mealtribune.com/podcasts and on my blog, www.mealtribune.com/Whole Dish. So I confess that I have never been a casserole type of cook, and could probably trace that back to my mom's style of cooking when I was growing up, although she was very heavily involved in home economics classes in high school in the 1970s, which should have made her a queen of casseroles. My dad sort of infamously was not a fan. And in fact, he had a particular revulsion for tuna casserole that she still loves to talk about him ordering her to throw into the trash or feed it to the cat before he took her out to dinner after she'd baked that, I think maybe a month or so after they'd gotten married. So we didn't eat a lot of casseroles growing up, and I'm always still kind of finding myself coming up short whenever I need to make something like that, usually for friends or family who are experiencing some difficulties that would make it harder for them to cook. Some friends of ours recently were recovering from a medical procedure. They have three young children to care for, and of course we wanted to bring a meal by their house, but it's racking my brains kind of on short notice what to bring. I hadn't gone shopping in preparation for that. My husband asked me if we could get something together in a couple of hours before we were planning a trip to their neighborhood later in the day on a Sunday, and started tossing some ideas around. And I thought, well, what about chicken Devon would have been easy enough, because I had chicken thigh fillets in the freezer that I could have thought out pretty quickly. But I didn't have any broccoli or any other green vegetable, just cauliflower. So that would have been a less than appetizing presentation, all just kind of white and beige. Will said, what about kind of amping up the cauliflower a little bit with some bacon? Said, well, that would have been a great idea if you hadn't just eaten all the bacon for breakfast. And I didn't really have ground beef or ground lamb or ground sausage to sort of beef up a tomato sauce for a pasta dish. All I had was lamb, which was just a little bit too out there for this family. And finally it hit me as I'm racking my brains, tamale pie. I had enough cornmeal to make a batch of my Southern style buttermilk cornbread, and I had buttermilk in the fridge too, which I like to keep on hand simply because it's just useful in a variety of recipes, and it keeps for quite a while in the fridge, particularly if it's unopened. And if you're not familiar with tamale pie, it usually layers cornbread or some type of corn preparation that mimics masa, with some kind of chili, spiced meat, and or bean mixture. And, you know, again, lacking a wide variety of ingredients, I was keeping this one pretty simple. I knew that I could make these chicken thighs work, and we had some canned pinto beans in the freezer, or excuse me, in the pantry. And in the freezer, I had roasted green chilies. Didn't have canned enchilada sauce, or I would have just used that with a few additional spices, but it could very quickly chip away some individual chilies from this large brick frozen from the fall chili roasting season, and defrost those and combine them, blend them with some milk, cream cheese, half of an avocado I had on hand. And I kept the seasoning very, very mild, or what I considered very mild, considering that they had three young children, just onion powder, garlic powder, cumin, a little salt, a little pepper, nothing that was way out there. And once I had blended up that just really quick in a basic sauce and stirred it into the chunks of chicken thighs, which I'd cut up, and the drained pinto beans. I didn't even bother to cook the chicken or heat up the beans or do anything to them. I could just added a little bit more salt to the chicken when I had it chopped up on my cutting board, because I knew that they were going to be baking this for at least 30 minutes. That's plenty of time for chicken, just chunks of chicken to cook through, particularly if they're in some kind of sauce that's insulating the heat. So just added that chicken bean chili sauce mixture to a greased 8x8 baking dish and poured my buttermilk cornbread mixture on top. And that's a really basic recipe that I've made for years out of the Betty Crocker Big Red Cookbook. It's very simply all mixed up in one bowl. You don't even have to separate the dry ingredients from the wet ingredients. And what I like about it is that not only does it get a little bit of tanginess from the buttermilk, but it also has that nice crunch from the cornmeal, because instead of being mostly flour, like a lot of cornbread recipes, at least in the northern part of the United States, this one is mostly cornmeal with just a little bit of flour. It's 1.5 cups yellow or white cornmeal. I had coarse ground, which I use for polenta, but finely ground cornmeal would work as well. 1/2 cup all-purpose flour, 1.5 cups buttermilk, 1/4 cup vegetable oil, 2 teaspoons baking powder, 1 teaspoon sugar, 1 teaspoon salt, 1/2 teaspoon baking soda, and 2 eggs. And again, that's just all mixed up very quickly, very easily in one mixing bowl. As far as the vegetable oil goes, my version of the Betty Crocker Big Red Cookbook is from the early 1990s when solid fats were still demonized a little bit, and they adapted a lot of recipes to vegetable oil. I find that replacing the vegetable oil with flaxseed meal works almost seamlessly in quick breads in particular, but I also use any kind of oil I have on hand. I like grapeseed oil as just a neutral oil. Avocado oil is another one that I use quite a bit, or organic, so it's non-GMO canola oil. Any of those work fine. And this cornbread, if it's just baked all on its own, it's in a 450-degree oven. Pour it on top of this filling for tamale pie. You maybe would reduce that heat just a little bit, particularly if you have kind of like a dairy-based filling underneath, which I did so it didn't break. I would bake this at maybe more like 375 degrees and just bake it slightly longer. And I even stirred in just a handful of grated cheddar cheese just to give it a little bit more savor and make it seem a little bit more appealing. It doesn't like cheesy cornbread. So this is something that would work very well, obviously, with Thanksgiving leftovers. You can easily replace the chicken with turkey. And I was sort of thinking along those lines as I was mixing this up. And it wasn't until I dropped the dish off and I started looking around at some of the stories that had moved on the Food Wire, which is a collective of newspapers from all across the country who are offered in one kind of subscription service to other newspapers, and they put all their stories out there. This particular package of stories I look at is all food related, and I knew that there hadn't been a reason why tamale pie was on my mind. And sure enough, the previous week in a bunch of Thanksgiving leftover stories, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, I believe, moved this recipe for turkey tamale pie. And it's a much more sophisticated version than the one I just discussed. It's calls basically for a layer of what is more like polenta on the bottom with a chili spiced turkey mixture on top and topped with some cheddar cheese baked in the oven. That's available on my blog right now in its traditional written format, but basically you'll see that it uses leftover turkey in addition to leftover gravy, enhanced with red enchilada sauce, chili powder, smoked paprika, cayenne pepper, cumin, and some bell pepper, black beans, and then served with diced avocado, some fresh cilantro, some queso fresco or cotija cheese, salsa, and tortilla chips. Sounds great, right? After more traditional uses for leftover turkey. Reminds me a lot of the turkey enchiladas that we would have when I was a kid growing up that my grandma would always make after the Thanksgiving holiday. And more recently, she was pretty impressed with a turkey pozole, which is a green chili spiced stew with hominy that my husband and I made with the leftover turkey that we had cooked on our pellet smoker for that particular holiday. So I would certainly encourage you to give one of those recipes a try. If, like me, you've made turkey pot pie for years, turkey tetrazzini, even, you know, turkey crepes, which we've also made, it's always nice to take the flavor profile in a little bit of a different direction. So go to www.mailtribune.com/whole-dish for a recipe for turkey tamale pie. Thank you.